The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Third down seven. He's on a blitz right now. And here comes the other player, Kenny Moore, off the edge. Watson here. Nance with the block. Buys time. Dancing. And Autry once again comes in. And a ball loose on the play. Ooh, look out for Autry. He is a runaway freight train. What a two-game thing he has put together here. Blue is in. First and 10. Blitz on the side. Moore. And then finally doused in there by Leonard. First year with the Texans. Second down and three. Davenport the block. Look out. Grabbed and taken down on the play. Margus Hunt. Oh, and Clowney may have jumped.
Oh, they did. How about that?
Look, he's an aggressive player, okay, and you never want to take away that aggressiveness. You know, in that situation, he made a mistake. You know, I'm sure he'd be the first to tell you that. Andrew did a good job on that play. They did a good job. Frank did a good job of getting their guys coached up on, you know, look, there was a sense there that maybe they were going to run the football. So from our defensive players, or from JD there. So, look, JD's a very aggressive player. He's made a lot of plays for us. We didn't lose the game because of that.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome in. Moral Victory Monday.
Man, that is
I haven't had one of these in a good while.
That sounded like a real low energy start, man. Are you all right?
Told you I need a nap, man.
Welcome in.
What's up with the microphone over here? It's like, I like that. I like to rap this rascal. It's all raw.
Hold on. Let me go get you a condom.
I'm Jerome Solomon, by the way. Welcome into the Blitz. Along with AJ Hoffman, who's throwing me a big black wrapper.
That's right. A magnum.
Put on the mic here.
That's a magnum. I knew you would need that.
There we go. That's a little more like it.
I hate to stereotype, but I assumed you would need
I'm not into that
large.
Cheap macho bragging, but you're right. Welcome to the show. You can get in and join us. 713-780-ESPN is your number. You can find us all over the place. Go to Facebook and look up The Blitz and like it there. And Snapchat ESPN 97.5, of course. On Twitter, I'm at Jerome Solomon. AJ is at AJ is the real. Jong Lee. Who I will not be calling the master. You just don't do that.
Yeah.
not on my days. He's my name Jong.
My name Jong.
Isn't that is it offensive when I say it?
When you say it the way you said it, it's a little bit offensive.
Well, that's the way you said it.
No, you said my name Jong. I said my name Jong. That's really would you agree there's subtle differences in the way I said your Twitter handle and the way Jerome said it?
Yes.
I said it as written. That's how it's written.
Okay.
I mean, put an is in there, please, to keep us all out of this kind of trouble. And the show is Degenerates 975. Hit us up there. Text us 713-780-3776 as well. I don't have the text list there, but I'll get that at some point today. What's up, man? How's your weekend?
It was all right, man. It was all right. It was It was cold out and about.
It was a little nippy. Nasty Friday, man. It was
And then
awful.
Saturday, my brother, his bachelor party was on Saturday.
I saw you conversing with the police union.
Yeah, I was letting them know, hey, y'all be cool. And they were cool.
Their reply was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was good. So that was a good time. Like I said, a little bit cold. Maybe drank a little bit too much.
Just a tad.
On Saturday. Mm-hmm. Made for a really slow start on Sunday.
When's the wedding?
December 29th.
Hold up. So he's got a bachelor party like 3 weeks in advance?
Well, were we going to do it like Christmas Day? I mean, the options were kind of limited. But
that still seems like a long. I mean, and was it a traveling bachelor party?
It was in Austin. Didn't go to Vegas or anything, no, right? It wasn't anything crazy. But
has he been dating a long time?
2.5 or 3 years, something like that. So, yeah, good one.
Y'all get some nudity involved? Some scandalousness?
Sir, no. We were gentlemen through and through.
So, y'all just drank.
That's pretty much it.
And chest bump each other.
Yeah.
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 I'm not buying that, you know?
Okay. I'm not selling.
How old is he?
He is 24.
Oh, yeah. See, he's still got wild oats to sell.
Yeah, 24, 25, something like that.
You got to get 24. Which, by the way, guy in his mid-20s, you go, you're old behind, show up at a bachelor party, guy in his mid-20s.
That was the problem. It was me and five other dudes who were in their mid-20s. It was very difficult for me to keep up. I'm not going
to
lie.
It's not like it used to be.
And we went from bar to bar, and you know how there's people standing outside the bars shouting out what their specials are. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been on 6th Street in Austin, and I don't even know how long. I mean, I try to be a little bit responsible now as an adult.
Right. Yeah.
And there's much more. There's much better places to drink if you're not looking for trouble in Austin than Dirty Six.
There's just too many kids around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's where they wanted to go, so that's where we went. And every bar we went to, whatever they were shouting out as the specials,
you had to order.
We went in and got 2 to 3 rounds of whatever that special was.
Man. How long did this last?
From about, I'd say, 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. ish.
Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, we put in a good day's work.
That's rough, especially if you're doing 2, 3.
I only lasted until about 2 a.m. Mm. I had to take someone home. One person in our party was no longer allowed into bars. So once that happened, it was like, oh no, we got to get this guy out of here.
You had to Uber him so he wouldn't try to sneak into somewhere else.
Exactly.
Make sure he gets home safely.
Yeah. So, but it was a good time, man. It was a good time. And then had a 7-2 day in the NFL yesterday. So that's always nice for the old bank account.
Were you able to stay awake during the Texans game?
Yeah, I got fooled last week, Jerome. I came on this air last Monday, and I said, you know what? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe these guys are better than I wanted to give them credit for, because, you know, they had finally gone 2 weeks in a row where they actually made bad teams look like bad teams, mm-hmm. and I was like, man, this is how it's supposed to work. If you're a solid team. And you play a trash team, you're supposed to make them look like trash. And the Texans had a really hard time doing that up until the last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday happens.
So this is your fault.
It might be.
As soon as you jump on the bandwagon, tires go flat.
And I know the final score of 24-21 says, that was a close game. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a close game.
We were kind of pushed around a little bit.
That was a thumping. And I think the biggest difference is between when they were looking good and what they looked like yesterday was when they look good, they can run the ball.
Right. They have to run the ball.
And
that's the thing.
Yesterday, not only were they ineffective when they did run, they didn't particularly push the issue and say, you know what, we've got to run more.
Well, they were going backwards. That's the problem. In the first half, I charted, I think they had 7 carries for -5 yards on first down.
That ain't good.
You're getting first down and, you know, first, second and 12, second and 13, you know. every time.
I'm not saying you got to run on every first down.
That would be a you know,
maybe all right, guys, let's switch it up here. We've run on first down four times in a row. This time, because they're thinking we're going to run.
Let's trick them.
Let's give them the okie doke and
let's
we'll
run
throw
some real
it.
Fancy like a pass.
We'll throw a forward pass on first down, and then if we have some success, or you know, maybe then we'll run on second down.
And since they're in the backfield tackling Lamar Miller, maybe we'll put it in his stomach and pull it back out right before he gets tackled.
We'll show him. We'll be like, oh, here we go again on first down, handing up. Gotcha.
What's that called, Coach?
That's called play action, guys. We've gone over this in practice a lot of time. Although maybe they're maybe the coach is like, "What are you talking about? Why would you pull it away from him? What sense does that make? How's he going to run it if you pull it away from him?"
We heard that Bill O'Brien sound there. What's your take on Jadeveon Clowney? Now you say the game wasn't close, but it ended up being close.
It ended up being
where if they get the ball back, they can go kick a game-tying field goal or game-winning touchdown with a minute to go. There's still plenty of football left to be played.
There was.
Until Jadeveon decided the game is over.
Here's kind of the deal with that. I'll go with 90% certain the Colts had Jadeveon Clowney in mind when they said, hey, I bet we could get one of these guys to jump.
That's what cracked me up with O'Brien's they were really coached up well on that.
No.
There's not a whole lot of coaching involved with just stand there Andrew call out the signals and hope some clown or some dude on the other team.
Yeah, that's not coached up. That's called they just saw a Texans game. They know what you're going to do. They know. He's good for one of those almost every game.
And they were going to punt the ball. They were not going to run a play.
Yeah.
And Andrew Luck didn't even say it. They stepped away and were like, going to call a timeout. And then they said, oh, well, let's try it one more time and walk back up there again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, 90's still over there. We still got a shot at this.
Like, once he backs off the line, okay. But you know what? At some point, I mean, in situations like that, when you know that's what they're trying to do, maybe you send someone else out there. See, I get he's one of your best guys, but.
But that's the thing. You mess around and don't have him out there. You know, and this is a guy who can blow up a line and blow up a play and blow up a backfield. Yeah. So if they do run it, he's totally disruptive. And you mess up, put somebody else there, and they go where JD would be and take off on you.
Yeah.
You look like a fool. You look like Bill Belichick. Instead of having Devin McCourty out there, a safety, he's got Gronk playing deep safety, and Gronk could not make a tackle. Game over. Dolphins win.
But it's kind of like, you know, let's say it's, let's say the Texans have the ball. It's fourth and inches, and you know they're in a spot where they're going to run the ball. If they were to pull off DeAndre Hopkins, who's their best pass catcher, to put in an extra tight end on the line to make it easier to run the play that you know you're going to run, no one's going to say, how could you not have your best player on the field?
Yeah.
At some point, it's like,
but if the player's Reggie Bush, that's different.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it just seems like, man, you're asking for it. You send him out there, you're asking for it.
But that's kind of the thing, though, where you have to, as a coach, you got to really weigh doing the right thing, the smart thing, or the thing that just embarrasses your player. Because it would be embarrassing. Hey, coach, why wasn't Clowney on the field for that play? Because we were afraid he'd jump outside.
Yeah, we thought that he'd blow it.
Yeah, that would not be good. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. A lot of
but that's one of those things
in the NFL yesterday. Though.
You know, like if Giancarlo Stanton, one of the best hitters in baseball, if you got one out and he's on your bench and you can put him up there and all you need is a sack fly, you got a guy on third, the game-winning run.
Right.
It's great. He strikes out more than everybody. So if like the one thing you can't afford is a strikeout, maybe go with the slap hitter and let him pop just one out there and just put it in play.
Right? Yeah, but boy.
So sometimes you got to know your pieces.
Yeah, but no, Clowney just needs to stay there move until the ball moves.
Let's put it on him. All right.
That's the thing you have to do.
All right.
I'm not going to blame O'Brien for not, you know.
Yeah,
for,
I'm trying to come up with something.
Being aggressive.
But, yeah.
That was unnecessarily aggressive too. Where, especially as far out as he is. Come on, man. You know, wait till the ball is snapped. And you, it was obvious they weren't going to do it. Anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. But then again, Frank Reich has made those kind of calls before, so we don't know what he would have done. But they blew it, and the Texans blew it big time because the Patriots lost, and it was there for the taking. But
yeah.
As I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I don't think there are any great teams out there. There's some good teams. There's some great offenses, some really good defenses.
Rams, Saints, you know, Chiefs all looked pretty beatable this week.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, I mean, the Texans, it was sitting there for you, Texans.
Yeah.
You could have been the number two seed.
Which might have
messed around and got the number one seed.
By the way.
You could have messed around and got the number one seed if the Chiefs lost yesterday in another game. I mean,
but they're not looking to go to. I think their success rate at Foxborough, I think we could agree, would be pretty low.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, one day they'll win there.
One day, but probably not this year.
That day probably won't be. Yeah,
it'll be after Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are dead.
Long gone indeed. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We'll go around with some more NFL stuff and jump into the Sad Sack Rockets when we get back. Check out the Blitz. We'll be back in a minute.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth.
All right, guys, got to tell you about my friends over at Go Solutions, TGS Insurance Agency. If you own your home, you need to listen up. Grab your smartphone. They're about to deliver you big savings on your home policy, all without ever talking to an agent. Used to take hours to get a reliable quote. Then someone made it 15 minutes to save a few percent. TGS Insurance has built the new system that gives you a firm quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but your address. And you're probably going to save a bunch of money. Grab your phone right now. Text the word money to 232323. The system's going to ask for your address. You send that back. You get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and their savings are legit. The online rating, nearly perfect. Their average customer from 2018 is saving over $825 on home insurance. And you don't have to wait until your renewal. TGS Insurance takes care of the back end so you can free your mind and fatten your wallet. One more time, text the word money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote and save big today.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
I'm so focused on calling the game. I'm not thinking about the crowd. You know, I love the Houston fans, but I'm trying to do as good a job as I can for the team, which wasn't good enough today.
Bill,
is that the best question? I mean, we got to have better questions than that.
I'll try.
That was great. I wasn't in there for that. I would have been out loud laughing.
I would have said, that was the best question. Yeah.
No, it's a question. I wouldn't waste. I'll put it like this. They wasted his time asking him that one, and nobody asked him about Clowney jumping on sides after the game yesterday. So, yeah, that's how smart that was.
Yeah, the whole Clowney thing was
today.
Nobody
asked him about the timeout. Yeah, the Clowney was from this morning. Nobody asked him about the timeout he wasted.
No.
In the first half that helped the Colts get going. When you don't call timeout there on first down, you make them call it if they want to call it. And if they decide they're not trying to get a first down, I mean, you call it on second down. And next thing you know, it's third and long, and you can get the ball back and have a chance to score. Instead, he calls it, and Colts went down. And they had just enough time to kick a field goal on the last play of the half, thanks to Bill O'Brien. And that wasn't an egregious error, but
it was an error.
He not called it. You make them call it. That's what you do. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And that question there was, did you hear the crowd booing with about 4 minutes left in the game? So that's why he's like, is that the best question we had? You asked me about if the crowd was booing. But
it's also weird, though, that he had an
interesting point to me, though. Texans fan. Your team's won 9 games in a row. You're rolling along.
They got spoiled.
And they're coming back, basically.
Yeah,
it's not even over in this game, and you're booing?
Texans fans, they've been spoiled now. Like, they think they're supposed to win.
All these rings they won?
They're supposed to win every game now. We won 9 in a row. We're never supposed to lose. Yeah, that was... I mean, although, listen, now you've set this expectation that you're a good football team. Maybe like me, there's maybe some Texans fans who started to buy in last week. Mm-hmm. And this performance was disheartening after the last 2 weeks. And you get all excited, and then, you know, it's a letdown.
And I do believe in the fans should hold the team to a high standard. I mean, that involves not showing up when the team is not going well, and that involves booing when they're not playing well or making smart decisions. So I don't have a problem with it. But I just know it's just funny to me that the fans—
Were you booing in the press box? Like that.
Oh, I boo every game.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for me. It's like, let's get this over with so I can write this story and keep it moving, especially when the game's not that exciting. And yesterday, the game wasn't that exciting.
No.
I mean, it was entertaining because T.Y. Hilton was just running circles around people again.
Does T.Y. Hilton always just take a dump on the Texans?
Pretty much. Yeah, I looked it up, and he— You know, his yards per game average is the highest at NRG Stadium. His yards per catch average is the highest at NRG Stadium. I mean, he comes here and just owns the place.
He's
done it from the get-go. And Jonathan Joseph is a solid pro and has been a really good player at times. And, you know, he's obviously lost a step now, but it didn't matter. When J-Jo was at his height, T.Y. would come here and just, you know, have his way with him. It's rough. And then yesterday, they had Sharice Wright out there on him a little bit, and
they tried Kareem on him. There was no answer that worked for T.Y. Hilton. And you know what? That may be where it becomes problematic when you— – and we've seen the Texans' real struggles have come against teams that have a top-tier quarterback. Mm. So everybody's like, oh, their defense is so good. And then I say, well, take a look at the quarterbacks they've played. And then you go through the list, and it's like, like the best one they played, besides Andrew Luck, mm-hmm. who they've now played twice, and Tom Brady, a game that they lost, Dak Prescott, maybe the best one?
Let's see, who else have they? Yeah, they haven't played anybody.
I mean, they've been really fortunate to see some really crappy quarterbacks. And, they had
you got Eli Manning.
Eli Manning, the backup in Tennessee. What was it? Chase Daniel?
Yeah, that's right. They didn't have Mario
Dak Prescott. You got Nathan Peterman.
Bortles.
Yeah, Blake Bortles.
You got Brock. You didn't even get
Brock Osweiler.
You got Brock. Case.
Yeah, and then you get Colt McCoy. I mean, Mariota, Mayfield. I mean,
Mayfield might be. Yeah.
I mean,
it's not a murderer's row.
No, and every time that they've seen a good quarterback, you look at that defense and the numbers that have been put up, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that ain't good.
Yeah, but. That's a small sample size, though. That's what I'm saying. It's not enough of a sample size.
Well, it's 0 for 3. I mean, and granted, they won the Colts game.
Yeah, but they did.
I mean, Andrew Luck threw for, 460-something yards and four touchdowns?
Yeah.
I mean, so when you— – now, on the bright side, remaining quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, he's not Andrew Luck mm-hmm. or Tom Brady. Carson Wentz doesn't look like he's Carson Wentz even.
Yeah, they might be dead.
And then another game against Cody Kessler maybe?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the
next quarterback they see
will be in
the playoffs, and that could be a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it could very well be Phillip Rivers, who he's pretty good.
I've never been a Rivers fan at all.
I'm not either. Yeah. But looking what he's done this season, I'm like, you know what? Yeah,
he's looked better this year.
It ain't bad.
Yeah,
you can't say it's bad.
But their biggest problem, bigger problem, I think though, will be, well, I guess it goes hand in hand with that. Can they crank it up offensively when they will need to? And we see now, if Kiki Kuti is not out there, Watson doesn't have someone to go to if you can double or triple or shade a whole lot of coverage to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And Bill O'Brien, because of their running game has been so successful and their defense so good, he's dialed back the offense so much that I don't know if he can go to those pages of the playbook and light it back up again. I was saying it all during the offseason, too. People were like, well, can they bring that offense from last year back this year? And I was like, I don't think they're going to do that. Part of the reason that offense was so wide open last year was the defense was so bad that they needed to score all those points that Watson was leading them to. And they lost those games, several of those games when they were scoring in the high 30s. And they had to. Bill O'Brien is a conservative coach. He's not going to try to score in the 30s and 40s if the defense isn't giving up more than 20.
But you know what? Thinking about the way yesterday's game went and pulling up the stats, but okay, the Texans' leading receiver yesterday, Ryan Griffin, five targets, five receptions, 80 yards. Then Hopkins, or excuse me, Demaryius Thomas was second, 4 for 48. Then Jordan Akins, two targets, two catches, 40 yards. I mean, if you're having success with the tight ends, and by the way,
the three tight ends were 11 for 11. They caught everything.
Every ball that was thrown to them. The Colts are notorious for just getting eaten up by tight ends. Mm-hmm. Why not just keep working at them? Like you said, if DeAndre's covered downfield, okay, we'll just keep chewing away at you. And I don't understand.
They never found an offensive rhythm. That's the thing.
They didn't. And part of that is, like you said, because they couldn't run the ball. But sometimes these little short dump-off passes or whatever, it's the same as a run.
Yeah.
And it's a way to get into a
rhythm. You got athletic tight ends who can move.
And who are matchup problems. You know, big tight ends.
Yeah, and if Ryan Griffin lights you up for 40 yards on a play, you can't cover the tight end.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting choice. And I don't know. And it was obvious, too, at a certain point, you know, after the first, 4-3 and outs the Colts had, after that, it was obvious they were going to go up and down the field for a while.
Yeah.
Because they found something and were working it. But the Texans didn't answer.
But I thought when they started sending Joe Webb out and DeAndre Carter, it basically seemed like they were just, hey, is there anybody else who we can put out who might maybe give us something? And it just seemed like they were playing a guessing game. And it was a really disjointed offensive game. And the Colts, on the other hand, got into a rhythm early. And again, you don't have to be. They only ran the ball 23 times.
Oh, yeah. They weren't
gaining
yards. Yeah,
they used that short.
They couldn't run it, so they started slinging it.
They used that short passing game. Because Andrew Luck, I mean, yesterday was a bit of an exception because T.Y. Hilton just had his way with people.
Right.
But for the most part this season, Andrew Luck's lived on throwing the ball 12 yards and in and letting guys do work for him. Mm-hmm. And just he's throwing the ball, you know, 50 times a game more often than not. And it piles up to some big numbers by the time it's said and done. Yesterday, he got a couple big chunks, but they're really good at finding an offensive rhythm, even if their run game doesn't work, because they have such a good short passing. They use their tight end so well, and Eric Ebron. They find a way to get the ball. Nyheim Hines, they put him out there. They know he can catch the ball. Or they'll have Cheshire Rogers or taking short routes. Zach Pascal. I mean,
and that's the thing. The Texans just they don't have any wide receiver depth.
No,
and then you know the two slot guys got hurt.
Yep.
You know, and Kiki didn't play at all, and then DeAndre Carter got the concussion and came out.
Yeah.
So then they were kind of stuck. But again, it's when those two running backs are not running, and you wonder why wasn't Dante Foreman. Is he not healthy enough? And
I don't know.
You activated him. Why wasn't he there? That was a weird move for them to make without putting him on the field and you know, have him active for the game. I thought he was going to play.
Now, what I will say in their defense on that note is the running game with Miller and Blue had been so effective the last 2 weeks that maybe they thought.
Well, no, I see why good. Maybe you thought that, but that's why maybe they thought Jadeveon Clowney wasn't going to jump either.
That's true.
I think this is a fact, and it's going to be important because they're going to have to run the ball. They've just decided that's the way they're going to win games. We've seen enough of Alfred Blue over the years to know if there's not a hole there, he's not getting the yards.
Right.
And Lamar Miller is pretty much that same guy too. He tends to go down when he gets tackled. I mean, he's faster so he can get to the corner this season like he did when he was with Miami a little more, but yeah, if there's not good blocking, he doesn't gain a bunch of yards. Deontay Foreman seems to be
a tackle breaker, but
we don't know what he is now. He hasn't played in a year.
The other number that jumped out at me was five sacks for 41 yards. Mm-hmm. And Watson continues to have these games where it's like, dude, you got to get rid of the ball.
See, I disagree with that. I think people overdo that. He makes far more plays by extending the play and holding on the ball.
So you're okay with five sacks?
Yeah, because they're – I mean, no, you don't want them to get sacked five times, but they're – get open.
See,
there's nobody open, and you know, and he's trying – he's giving them a chance. He made a bunch of those plays yesterday after holding on to it, waiting for a guy to get open and giving him a chance.
Maybe yesterday –
fumbling it and turn it over or something and throwing interceptions on top of it, then it's a problem. But, yeah – maybe one or two of those plays, you should have gone ahead and gotten rid of it. But it's not. It's not nearly the problem that people make it out to
be. I guess to me yesterday, it felt more evident because there weren't many big plays made.
Right.
Yeah. And so when you're trading off, okay, we got sacked a couple times, but we made some big plays on where DeAndre got out of the pocket.
Yeah, he got a couple.
Not DeAndre,
of them,
where Deshaun got out of the pocket.
But in sitting up in the press box watching it too, you're watching and you're like, nobody is open.
Yeah.
Now, I would rather him tuck it and run more,
right?
And just slide and not get
hit. Well, that's another thing. They were starting to have success with that.
But he's not running it that much.
No.
He's waiting to try to sling it to somebody to get big play downfield.
Five carries.
Yeah, and he should have had at least 10 carries yesterday.
I mean,
the way that game was being played.
Yeah, when I see guys like Josh Allen running for 100 yards, Lamar Jackson running for 100 yards, I mean, I feel like Deshaun is capable. I'm not saying he's got to be a 100-yard rusher. But the reason you draft
more of a threat.
Yeah, the reason you draft that guy is because he's a dual threat guy, and it just seems like he's, well, at least in this game, I mean, a couple of games he's actually moved, and it's like, oh boy, now you see what this guy can be. But then days like this, it's like,
what are you waiting for, man?
It's
confusing, and it's also one of those where you're like, you don't know who to blame.
Yeah.
It's, player, he should be able to tuck and run whatever he wants. And as a coach, you should tell him after a little bit, hey, you want to start running? What you want to do?
It's pretty easy. It's Jadeveon Clowney's fault. All right, I got to tell you about Pajamagram. Christmas is right around the corner, and you want to go with a win-win this year. Something's going to make her feel hot and heat up your holiday as well. How, you might ask? I'll tell you, the world-famous Hoodie Footy from Pajamagram, America's PJ experts. Let's face it, it's hard to get her hot when she's freezing cold. And the Hoodie Footy is the ultimate solution. Combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas, and that head-to-toe warmth means she'll be cozying up in no time. They've got all the Hoodie Footy styles, including mink chocolate, snow leopard, and many others at pajamagram.com. And if you're not into Hoodie Footy, it's not for everybody. That's okay. They've got PJs for every occasion. You're looking for something a little sexy? They got that. You want all your family to have matching pajamas on Christmas morning? They got that. And the best part, you don't have to worry about gift wrapping. Every pajama Graham includes free gift packaging, delivery by Christmas guaranteed. Plus, they're backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee, so you risk nothing, guys. Go to pajamagram.com right now or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs. It's pajamagram.com. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
So our program is going to be about certain core values. Number one is faith. Faith for me is believing in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And he is the only one I've ever met that can handle my junk. If you know somebody else that can do that, I'd love to meet him, but I haven't met that person yet, and he's the only one that can.
Give me your phone, Coach Freeze.
I bet I can find you at least one or two.
Your junk before.
Yeah. Apparently, more people are handling your junk than are supposed to. Need to limit how many people are handling your junk.
That's Hugh Freeze, who just got a job at a religious institution.
Liberty
University, after he was fired for it was on recruiting trips, right, where he was calling up escorts on the company. I don't know if it's against company policy to call up the escorts or just using the company phone, the university phone line.
I don't know. I mean, what's the rule?
What's the Gal Media rule, John? Do you can you use your phone or you have to use?
I mean, we don't have company phones.
Oh. So you're saying it's not a problem?
Well, maybe
can I put hookers on my expense report?
You'll have to ask Laura.
I'll ask her.
Maybe every person that he met that was handling his junk was their name was Jesus.
Maybe seems so unlikely.
Let's go with faith on that one, John. My name, John. Let's go with faith. 713-780 ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You know, a little, well, not revisionist history, but my man Brent Zornman, who covers A&M for the Chronicle, has a piece, a little commentary that he just sent in about Kyler Murray's transfer from A&M. And Brent says, worked out great for both sides. It was a good thing for A&M.
What was good about it?
Well, they got Jimbo Fisher.
Oh.
And they beat LSU. Hadn't beat LSU. So I'm thinking maybe they might have beat LSU if Kyler Murray was on the field the last couple of years, but that's just me.
I mean, I don't know about that. I do think that maybe in the long run it was good. It was a good thing for them because it did get them a new coach, but
you backed into that. That's not a you wouldn't count that as a victory in that sense.
But you know what? I bet Jimbo Fisher saying, man, I sure could have used that kid.
Yeah, right. But there's that other thing of these serious, and I see Tracy on here. I'm sure she'll weigh into these serious SEC homers about, well, he's only 5'10", 190. He couldn't play against SEC defenses. Like, stop.
Well, people like Tracy said he should have won the Heisman over Tua.
Ah.
What about you? You have a vote.
I voted for Murray. Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand that thinking.
He had a great season. I mean,
he had a better season than Tua?
In my mind, yeah. But it was
one
very
guy
close.
Lost a game, one guy didn't.
He didn't lose the game. The team didn't win the game. No. He didn't lose the game.
Okay.
He didn't JD Clowney it. He didn't even do that much. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I guess the way I looked at it is, I'm
not going to just give it to somebody on an unbeaten team either.
But I figured, you know, the best player on the best team who went undefeated.
Well, it's not the best player. It's not the best player. It's like who has. I mean, it's not.
Okay.
If the best player, then every year it'd be a whole lot different.
But then
winner than
no. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying Tua was the best player on the best team. Who played in the SEC?
He had a dominant year. He had a great season. Yeah, I'm not disputing that.
Kyler Murray put up a bunch of garbage numbers against.
I won't call them garbage.
Baylor's
numbers.
Those
numbers were legit. They're real numbers.
Yeah,
and nobody else was putting them up.
Well, so if Alabama played in the Big 12, you think they would?
They'd probably put some good numbers.
They would have done all right.
You don't think OU put up numbers in the SEC?
I don't think they would have put up the numbers they did.
They'd be all right.
I mean, I'm sure they survived.
You see what Baker Mayfield did to SEC defense when he ever played?
Yeah.
So it's not like they can't.
What happened when Baker Mayfield played Georgia in the playoff last year?
He had a big game, didn't he? He had a good game.
Well, I don't know.
I think he had some numbers.
I guess he didn't.
I think he put up some numbers.
I guess he didn't take the L. Oklahoma took the L.
But it wasn't like they got smoked, right?
Okay.
Right?
I mean, I guess so.
But I just don't automatically go, you won all the games. You automatically
I just felt like the numbers were close.
Tua lost to Georgia the other day.
What? How did he lose?
Had he stayed in the game, you think they win?
I don't know.
When he left the game, they were behind by a wide margin.
I think the dude went out there and played against, granted, the best team he played all year for sure.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't play well
at all.
And
he went out there hurt. And didn't play well.
That's life in the big city.
Yeah, but I mean,
but like I said, but I'm not trying to put him down. I don't think there was a wrong answer in terms of, you know, picking one or the other.
Okay.
And but the people who argue vehemently for Tua and back and forth, they have the idiotic approach that is pushed throughout the Heisman thing about the Heisman race. There is no race. I don't believe in that. So I never had anybody ahead of anybody. When the season is over, then
that's when you make your decision.
Yeah, I don't go like, oh, so-and-so is winning it right now in my book. Like, no one's winning it because the season's not over.
Baker Mayfield, 287, two touchdowns, one pick against Georgia. Yeah.
Not bad.
Not bad. But yeah. not Heisman
not
numbers.
Not awful. Tua had games like that.
Well, yeah. Tua,
because he came out halftime.
Yeah, he'd leave at halftime. Oh, Tua only had 287 yards this week. Wait, that's on 9 pass attempts? What?
Yeah, and guys were running wide open and free. I mean, and they were dominating. I mean, he's on the best team. Yeah. I don't think there's any question.
Do you penalize him for that?
It makes his life easy. No, that's what I'm saying. I don't penalize him for it. But like I said, I don't. Doesn't mean he was worse.
Well, here's
or not as good.
Here's my other thought on it.
Or he's not a better player. I just voted for Kyler Murray.
When I saw...
Because I think Kyler Murray, across the board, game by game,
okay.
had a more outstanding season.
When you think about the fact that Baker Mayfield won this award last year with similar numbers, and then Kyler Murray takes over and it's similar numbers, at some point, don't you think, God, maybe it's not that this is an outstanding player. Maybe it's that coach is outstanding and he's got a system that seems to work.
And Nick Saban is not an outstanding
coach?
Has
Nick Saban ever had a quarterback put up numbers like this? Never in his life.
He's never had that player.
Okay.
You know?
That's fair.
But it's not like Baker Mayfield went to the next level and we're like, oh my God,
but yes,
this guy cannot play football. The only reason he could play was because he played at OU last year. That's not the case.
Okay.
You know, we've seen him play on the next level and we go, I see why he won the Heisman. He's a talented player.
But we also saw Kyler Murray at Texas A&M.
But he was a freshman.
He wasn't outstanding.
He was a true freshman.
Oh, my. Tua won the national championship as a freshman last year.
In one game.
Yeah. That's a pretty big game.
He didn't play the whole season.
That's what he does. He plays half of a game every week.
He won the national championship all by himself.
In half a game. Damn near was all by himself that day.
And he lost the SEC championship this year by himself.
No, there's no L. There's no L.
All right, 713-780. ESPN 713-780-3776. NBA League Pass. Got a real cool idea. We'll tell you about that when we come back. We'll dig into some Rocket stuff. This is The Blitz on ESPN 975.
Going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
With Houston having an 8-point lead, then cut to 5, and now cut to 2! Back to back! It has gotten mighty loud in here right now as the Mavericks have scored 6 straight. It's all been Luka, and now he makes it 8 straight. How's that for Luka magic? Luka has single-handedly tied the game. Now Harden for the lead. It's an air ball. Tucker denying Luka. Barnes got it to him, though. Screen by DeAndre. Capella switched on to Luka. Luka with the step back 3. Oh, yeah! Goes into the corner, and it's Gordon going to the basket. He goes to Nene, back to Gordon, corner 3, no good, it's all over. Behind Luka, Dallas has won it 107-104.
Luka. Get to know that name.
Yeah.
What do you think of Luka Doncic?
Looks like a nice little player.
He's got some game. He has some game on him.
Sometimes with those Euros, I'm not convinced until I see it, because I don't know how many times I've heard, oh, this guy's he's the European Jordan. This guy's going to, I mean, and then they show up and it's like, really? That's the guy that guy who's dominating Europe. You thought it was just going to come over and translate. Like, remember there were people who legitimately tried to make a case for taking Darko Milicic over LeBron James.
Right. Yeah.
Which, I mean, imagine
that would have been. I mean, drafting him number 2 was the worst.
That was crazy enough
in history. Anyway,
imagine if you took him over maybe the greatest player of all time. And there were people who were pushing for that because they were so wowed by what Darko was already doing against grown men in Europe that they were like, "Well, we've seen LeBron's look great, but it's against high school kids." Darko's over here doing this to grown men, which
and you know,
which to be fair, he was
continue to improve, and he was a teenager.
But he
wasn't doing what LeBron James was doing.
No.
I mean, he was holding his own. He wasn't dominating. Luka was the MVP over there. He was kind of dominating. I mean, this guy was a little different, and the game has changed too.
Yeah,
I mean, the game has changed a lot. The way that it's played, the freedom that players have to play now, it's not as physical as it used to be. You don't have to be as special. And I'm not saying Luka isn't a special athlete, but you don't have to be.
Right.
If you can handle it and shoot it and, you know, you got some body control and you're aggressive, you can play in this NFL. I mean, in this NBA. I was going to switch it to the NFL on that same thing, though. Receivers now, we haven't gotten there yet, but we're getting to. They're not worried about getting hit going across the middle anymore.
You're right.
So there's a whole crop of guys who couldn't play in the NFL would now be able to play in the NFL because they're like, well, you can't hit them. And, you know, and the same with quarterbacks. They're guys who. It's amazing that the quarterback play can be so bad when they're not allowed to be touched.
Yeah.
I mean, at all.
That is pretty unbelievable.
I mean, even if you sack them, you got to be careful with how it's done.
On the Rockets note, had I told you at the beginning of the season, at the 25-game mark, they'd be 11-14, would you have laughed at me?
I would have laughed heartily because I would have accepted 25. I'd say, they could be 16-9 or something,
right.
You know, maybe. And I'd say they're not playing well if they're 16-9.
Right.
Because they're playing well, I'd expect them to be 20-5.
Instead, here they are at 11-14. They are the second worst team in the Western Conference.
They lost 17 games last year.
Yeah.
They could be at 17 by the end of this week.
Very easily, and they actually probably will be.
Yeah. If they keep playing like they've been playing, they'll be at 17 already. I mean, it's crazy. And there's nothing they can do.
Now, here's my question. Do you feel like, and obviously, Who did we decide? Hindsight's 50-50. Who said that?
Both John Gruden and Cam Newton.
John Gruden. That's my man. John Gruden. Hindsight's 50-50. It's like, we really need a pass rusher. Hey, coach, you had Khalil Mack. You traded him. Hindsight's 50-50.
We need a wide receiver.
Yeah, we need a receiver now.
Use a threat out
it
there
sure be outside. Nice if we had a deep threat. You traded Amari Cooper. Hindsight's 50-50. Now, hindsight is 50-50, but... I mean, it's unbelievable. This team was so close to beating the best team, maybe one of the best teams of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And just a few months later, this is what's on the court. Was it over-aggressive to basically say, you know what, we don't need Ariza, we don't need Bamute, we'll just add more on the offensive side, Carmelo, and... We'll count on these young guys. Ennis, God, how many people told me that Ennis is the next big thing?
But Ennis isn't playing poorly.
No,
you know he's matching Ariza in a lot of ways.
Here's
my theory on this. I think now in my 50-50 hindsight, the fluke was last year.
You think so?
And it's amazing that something can be a fluke that lasted the whole darn season. And you were probably even arguing at the time that, oh, this is just the regular season. This doesn't count. Then they did it in the playoffs and did the same thing and got to game seven with the Warriors and could have easily won it. But so this makes my theory sound ridiculous because you can't fluke for 90 games or whatever, 100 games through the playoffs and regular season. But you cannot tell me Trevor Ariza is that good because he's not.
Right.
I know he's not. But beyond that, the second half of that is, There was certainly no guarantee, and almost a good solid bet. Ariza is losing steps every day.
Yeah.
So is Chris Paul. If he were on this team, that doesn't mean they'd be way better than they are either. It just since he's not, it's easy to point to. Hey, well, you know this guy, but you know he ain't that good,
right?
You know, and he's not as good as he was a few years ago, and a couple years ago, and even the first half of last year. By the end of the season. You could see what he was doing, but they need him on this team. But I don't think this team is – I just don't think this team could be able to replicate that anyway.
So who do you point at, Mike D'Antoni?
Well, it's on D'Antoni to figure out what he – because people, as I wrote in Sunday's paper, coaches have done more with less than what the Rockets have right now.
Yeah.
It's fine to argue, wow, this team, you know, compete with the Warriors, blah, blah. Forget all that. They're 11 and 14. They're better than that. I don't care what they did in the offseason. They didn't make an 11 and 14 team. They didn't. I mean, that's not what the, you know, you could argue about whether they could get any closer to the Warriors or where they would fall in the hierarchy of the league. But 11 and 14 is ridiculous. And that's on the coach in a lot of ways, because it's his job to figure it out. It's his job to get the best out of the group that he has. And if the best that group can be is the third or fourth seed and get wiped out by the Warriors in the playoffs, fine. But to be to have the second worst record next to last in the conference, that's not what this roster is.
Yeah, it's odd to me too, because they don't seem, I mean, the offense is still, they've had some games recently where the offense has been kind of poor. Like they didn't even crack 100 against Minnesota or Utah.
Yeah, those back-to-back games they scored. Back-to-back games, they scored 91 points.
Yeah, but for
in D'Antoni, real quick, in D'Antoni's first two seasons here, they never had back-to-back games where they scored less than 100. And not only did they have those two games where they scored 91 last week in those losses en route to that three-game road losing streak, they had a stretch earlier where they had four games in a row where they scored less than 100 points. He's an offensive coach.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the defense is poor, but you're not even doing what you know what your strength is as a coach. You're not getting them to play your offense. They have the slowest paced team, one of the slowest paced teams in the league. His first year here, they were fifth in pace. Last year, they were 13th. This year, they're like 29th or 28th or something. I mean, they're playing sluggish, slow, boring basketball that depends on your superstars dominating, and they only have one superstar who can dominate.
Right.
And hasn't been dominating like he did year before. Capella is not a superstar, and he doesn't dominate. He puts up some numbers, but he doesn't dominate.
In fact, Capella, you could argue, like, I know they were thrilled to have him, which, and it probably would have been a mistake to let him go.
Yeah.
But when you marry yourself to that guy, I think long term you are slowing your game down. Anytime a team marries to a big man, it tells me eventually your game's going to have to slow down.
But he can move, you know. He can run, and he's got to protect the rim, and you need a rim protector. So I don't have a problem with that, and I don't have a problem with.
So what happened?
Trevor Ariza was going to cost them almost $60 million.
Right. Yeah. It makes sense to not give that guy that money.
Even somebody as rich as Tillman, I'm not going to tell him. You know, you should have went ahead and gave that $60 million up.
Like, yeah.
No.
Well, what's your?
But they didn't do a good enough job replacing it.
One of the things we talk about NFL. One of the things I've been saying about the NFL is I think the Eagles last year was the aberration. Mm-hmm. And so, like, you to your point, it can happen where a team is just fantastic one year and you think they're going to be that the next year, but that's just not what that team is.
Their camaraderie, they were together, they were mixed and everything.
Carson Wentz had like the perfect season. Yeah. James Harden had the perfect season last year.
The Eagles defense, their secondary, they've never been good, but all of a sudden last year, they started making some plays, winning some games.
So now 25 games in, are they a playoff team, you think? By the time it's said and done?
Yeah, because like I said, they're not supposed to be 11 and 14.
Okay.
I mean, even if they start playing average basketball, they'll be a playoff team. And they're at least average.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're average, I'm saying. They play up to their average.
They might they might get a rematch with the Warriors.
I might get them right out of the gate.
Get it over with early.
That might be the only chance they have of competing with them. Catch them early.
Isn't that what Daryl Morey says? We're obsessed with beating the Warriors.
Maybe
that's their plan all along, is to get that 8 seed and face the Warriors fresh. Don't wait till you've already played two playoff series.
Don't wear yourself out.
Yeah, we're going to get them right away.
Don't let Chris Paul get hurt.
Yeah.
You know, if you play him early, Chris Paul's not hurt, you got a better shot.
Well, maybe Andre Iguodala's not hurt.
Yeah. I'd take that trade if I were the Warriors. I'd sit Iguodala all day to match up with Chris Paul sitting down in last year's playoffs.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just say that when Iguodala was out, the Rockets won two games by that much. Mm-hmm. When Chris Paul was out, it wasn't close. So
I thought it was a little closer than that, but. And the Rockets had double digit leads in the second half of both of those games too.
Yeah.
So, you know, Chris Paul. One thing I can guarantee you, they wouldn't have gone 0-27.
Yeah, no, they would not have done that. But I do stand by, I think if Iguodala doesn't get hurt, there is never a game seven. I don't think the Rockets ever make it that far. But trust me, I know Chris Paul's a better player, but Andre Iguodala, he was important to what that team did.
The Warriors is just a better team.
No doubt. Yeah. All right, guys, got to tell you about Carbach and what's going on out at Carbach this Sunday, December 16th from noon to 7. They're going to have a Christmas Story art market. Get out there, a funky Christmas Story art market at Carbach Brewing, free to attend. The holiday market's going to be set up in the beer garden. Come out and enjoy a nice cold beer while shopping with some local talented artists and vendors. They're going to have ugly Christmas sweaters that are going to be on hand, a gift wrapping station. It's pet friendly. And then after the market, enjoy a screening of everyone's favorite holiday film, A Christmas Story. Speaking of that, you'll shoot your eye out. The beer available now. The seasonal red ale is going to lighten up the neighborhood. It's loaded with smooth caramel malt, a citrus twist. You got to try this holiday ale. It's only here for a limited time. And while you're out there, check out the restaurant. I tell people all the time, this is a culinary masterpiece. There's always great food out there. You're expecting bar food. It's not that. These guys have it going on. They got some legit chefs in there that know what they're doing, and everything that they cook pairs perfectly with some of the beers they've got on the board there. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or pick up your favorite Carbach beer today. Or just ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1. 94.1.